What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This is a fun episode. This is Felicia Ruffino. She's marketing and events manager at a freaking awesome restaurant company, hospitality company. They've got multiple locations in DC, different concepts, standalone concepts. They got a bunch of franchise locations in Philadelphia Airport, growing, doing a lot of exciting things, learned a lot over COVID. And she's just a high energy, fun young lady to speak with. She has a cool story. Rolled up on the set, got a job as a busser in college with $30 in her checking account, needed some work. And that job led to another, to another, to another. And here she is, you know, 5-6 years in the business. She's doing very well for herself, part of a great team, and has a lot of passion for what she does. So she's fun to talk to. Thank you all for listening. Please take a second, if you have a chance, rate the podcast, whatever, you're on iTunes or Spotify or whatever. Ratings help. They give us better natural results when people are looking for content on hospitality, and we try to provide good content, of course, always. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for giving us a quick rating, and more of these coming soon. See ya.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, Felicia? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for
fantastic.
Thanks for doing this today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Yeah. Well, go. I can tell you what. Just introduce yourself.
Awesome. Well, hi. I'm Felicia Ruffino. I work for a restaurant group in Washington, D.C.
And tell us the name of the group.
So it's Hakan Ilhan Restaurants. He has 4 street locations, 2 Italian, Il Piatto and Al Dente, a Turkish, which is Ottoman Taverna, and that has been awarded Michelin Bib Gourmand recognition since 2017. And then our French concept in Georgetown, Brasserie Liberté. He also has franchises within Dulles Airport, and he's expanding to Philadelphia Airport. So I work on those projects along with him as well.
Y'all have got one heck of an operation going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
You must keep a full schedule.
Yeah, we keep a full schedule for sure. He does more traveling than I do, so he's on the ground at every location day in and day out, which is fantastic.
A huge part of how y'all are able to make that work, I would guess. I mean, I want to ask you more about that. In fact, you signed up. Did you sign up for another trial for Schedule Fly like yesterday?
We did. In Philadelphia, we're opening Bud in Maryland's, which is a local concept that we franchised for the airport. And that is one of 4 concepts that we're putting into that airport. So we'll also have a Chick-fil-A, a Good Luck Pizza, a coffee concept that's local. And we're hoping to get one more space in Philadelphia as well.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Chick-fil-A, my son got his first, he's 15, he got his first summer job this summer. He's working at Chick-fil-A.
Front of house or back of house?
Front. They're super, we're down here in, we live in a little town called Waxhaw, but we're basically Charlotte, North Carolina. I think the one he's at is the busiest one in Charlotte. He's learning a lot fast. I mean, he came home yesterday and I was like, how was it? He goes, man, it was stressful. I was like,
the great thing about Chick-fil-A is their company culture and the way they work with their franchisees. So they send down a team to help us open locations. And then they send our manager and the owner to one of their on-site locations somewhere else. So I believe last time they went to Georgia to get trained there. So the training process is fantastic when you license a Chick-fil-A.
Well, let's unpack a little bit. So, I mean, you've got a lot of locations that y'all support. If I remember correctly, I read about you. I mean, you've been in the business. You were a server. It seems like at a young age, you've landed yourself in a really great opportunity, Felicia, with a growing. Obviously a growing operation, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. What, What got you dialed into hospitality initially?
Yes. So I was a student at American University, which is one block from Al Dente, which is our neighborhood Italian spot. I walked in there to get a job when I had $30 in my bank account my freshman year of college. And I got hired as a busser. And that was 6 years ago. So I kind of worked my way through the system at Al Dente from busser to host, food runner, server. And then the manager at the time had introduced me to the owner, and I needed an internship for marketing. So I started as an intern doing marketing for Al Dente and one other concept that he had at the time. And then, you know, the relationship grew between the owner and myself, and I started working on more and more of his projects. And then when I graduated, I came on full time, even though I was a little bit of a full time person as well. While I was in college, I came on full time again once I graduated, and doing marketing and events for all his concepts.
What? Okay, so you go down there, you got $30, you're just looking for a job, just something to make some money, and you're bussing. So, but clearly you stayed and you moved up quickly and took on different roles. Was it the people, the energy? What was it about hospitality that got you excited?
Yeah. So when I was younger, my parents would always go to this local Italian restaurant in our town on Friday nights, and we would always get pizza there. And like my sister and I would always drink Shirley Temples. And I loved the energy that was in the restaurant. You always saw the chef would play cards with my dad and the manager in a booth during the downtime between shifts. And that was something that really meant a lot to me, because you saw these people that had absolutely nothing in common. It was like a lawyer, a truck driver, a chef, a manager, a city employee, all sitting down together, just playing cards and drinking and laughing. And that energy kind of followed me here to DC. So Al Dente was the same vibe. The chef's friends would come in between shifts and they'd talk and they'd gossip. And it was a chef and a magician and a businessman and the owner of a restaurant downtown and the attorney that works right by the White House. And that energy just made it feel like it was home again. And the owner was always there. It kind of started to become like family for me. I met a lot of my best friends in college at that job. Even though I went to school with them, I never crossed paths with them at the university. I met them all at Al Dente. So it was kind of just like a family vibe. And working with the owner, he treats us all kind of like his family. And he always says he sees us more than he sees his family. So that atmosphere really kept me excited about working with this team.
Gotcha. Yeah, it sounds like y'all have a really great culture there. And that all starts at the top. Tell me your owner's name again.
Hakan Ilhan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, hats off to him, because, you know, how long has he been in hospitality?
So he was born in Turkey, and then he went to school in London. He started working in a restaurant in London. I think he was a busser. He didn't even speak that much English at the time. And then when he graduated and wanted to move to the US, he started right away with franchising. And that was, I believe, 30 years ago. So he moved here doing franchising, and then he started his own franchises, Pizza Authentica and Cafe Cantina, and expanded those. And then that's kind of how he got his foot in the door in street side locations, was through franchising and building airport concepts, because he does have his own restaurants in the airport. And he didn't open his first street location until 2012, I believe.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, that's a heck of a business he's built, y'all have built. So tell me about what interests you about marketing in hospitality, and what are some of the fun projects you work on?
So we have integrated marketing into pretty much everything we do here. So I've worked on 3 restaurant openings since I started this job. And what kind of sets us apart a little bit is the way we approach a restaurant opening. We do so much research about menus, price points, our competitors, other cities, popular dishes that are on every French restaurant in this city. And then we price it $3 less because we're new and we just want people to get in the door and try it and be wowed with our product and our price point. So before we open a location, we create a wish list. So a menu and a menu price point that we want. And then we compare that to what the chef comes out with for the menu. So our menu that we do at every location is completely modified for through marketing. And that's kind of something that I love doing. I love researching. I love coming up with things. When we get a bad review, we look at exactly what a guest ate or drank during that mealtime, and then we compare it. So let's say one weekend, we keep getting the same review and we look at the check, and everybody that left a bad review had the same dish, then we address it that way. So that kind of falls under the umbrella. Similarly, I take care of all private dining events at all the locations. So we thoughtfully come up with events packages that we look at what others around us are doing, as well as the same type of cuisine are doing before we put together our package. So there's so much planning that goes into how we sell our product and how we sell what we're doing at each location that I find the most interesting.
How many restaurants are y'all opening a year?
So pre-COVID, we opened our largest restaurant about 4 months before COVID hit. Before that, we were opening maybe one a year since I had started. We just reopened an Italian concept downtown two blocks from the White House a month ago. And that was a really exciting project to work on. But consistently, we don't open regularly. However, we are opening three at the end of this month in the airport in Philly. So it kind of all happens at once in a weird way. We either aren't opening concepts for 10 months to a year, and then we're opening four at once.
Well, the airport ones, I guess, okay, so Chick-fil-A and then a local coffee shop, and you've got, and that's a little different, I guess, than the standalones in turn. And the reason I asked that question is because you're talking about everybody does a lot of due diligence to open a restaurant, but you guys are, doubling down, it sounds like, on that, the amount of time and research, market research and so forth, so that you get it right. That's, I was curious because it's, no matter how many people you have there, I mean, you're only got so many folks that can do that. So you couldn't open too many at one time. Your formula is around slow burn on the front end, get it right. And you probably have, I would imagine y'all don't have many that wind up closing 6 months later because of that.
I would say pre-COVID, we had closed two locations, but they had been open for 3 years and then like 6 years. So they do remain open for quite a bit of time. And now we're in a great spot where we kind of really figured out all of our kinks during COVID closure times. We perfected our menus and we really came up with a shifting strategy, because obviously the dining scene is a little bit different post-COVID. The way people eat, how often they go out to eat. We're in DC, so downtown, no one is going into the office. So our neighborhood spots really excelled because everyone was working from home and getting out of work and walking there. So things have just shifted a lot over time, but it's the name of the game is adjusting to how things have shifted.
Well, it sounds like y'all really, a lot of people in hindsight were able to use the unfortunate situation of COVID and the shutdowns and the slowdown and everything to give you more time to think and think strategically and plan and make adjustments. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're harder to make when you have, everything's just kind of hopping. So tell me about something that I hear a lot. I hear it maybe a little less now, but for the last year, at least, it seems like almost everybody I talk to says, we are really having a hard time finding good people to work. Mm-hmm. Y'all dealing with that?
Absolutely. I feel like There are so many talented individuals who left the industry, and you can really see that here because there's just the job applicants aren't there anymore, which is a bummer. But
does that mean the number of applications, is it like the actual number of applications is down, or do people apply? And I've heard some members say they, you know, there's a lot of people that apply and they schedule an interview and then they don't even show up for the interview and stuff like that, like more so than normal.
It's both. So we definitely don't see the same caliber of applicants. And then when we do get a good applicant or an applicant at all, scheduling an interview, getting them in is tough, even at a management level. We're talking all levels of employment. It's hard to find people.
Yeah, it seems like management's a big, big challenge right now. Well, okay. So what have y'all done from like an HR and employee benefits and things like that? Are you paying more? Are you looking for more, you know, are you open less hours or restructuring the benefits and things like that to try to retain people?
The good thing is we have been able to retain a lot of people that do start to work for us. Our concepts are busy. So once we get people in the door, they're really happy here. They're making more than minimum wage. The tip structure is fantastic. So we really, as much as it is a little bit difficult to get people in, we've got a solid base at all of our locations. So thankfully we haven't faced a ton of issues on that front.
Well, that's good. Cool. Mm-hmm. Where is, like, the people that would have applied, you know, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. like when, you know, it wasn't a challenge to get people to apply and come work, like, what are they all doing now?
Interestingly enough, I've seen a ton of people go into real estate. We had a former bar manager who did all of our beverage programs for two or three of our concepts. He, one of our regular guests at our restaurant, is a lobbyist. They always got along. They always jived. When COVID hits, our employee, or at the time wasn't our employee, but our former employee, did a pitch for them for an alcohol project or some sort of project they needed help with. The client loved it so much, he's now working in advertising at a lobbyist firm, because everyone that works in our industry is highly intelligent, highly educated, yeah, highly well-rounded, well-traveled. So they just went on to use whatever sort of degree they had or network, they're networking pros because they're talking to people day in and day out. This same employee that we had would bartend at some of our regulars, like personal parties at their houses. So people made connections and they just kind of expanded upon them during COVID when these companies needed employees too, and they have the perfect skill set, they're people. So I think they went on to use whatever degree they had or whatever passion they were interested in pursuing.
Yeah, you just articulate something I'm just so high on and I believe so much. It's why, you know, I mean, this is my son's first job and we're like, you need to work in hospitality and, you know, roll the dice and let's see if we can even get you a job at Chick-fil-A. Cause they have the opposite problem with a lot of people is they have like, you know, like he had to interview twice and, you know, we were hoping to get the job and all this stuff, but boy, you, when he came home yesterday, he's like, yeah, it was stressful. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, good. Like, because what you do requires this extremely diverse set of skills, mm-hmm. from the way you interact with customers when you're under pressure, the way you interact with your teammates under pressure. I mean, when there's a high stress, fast paced, mm-hmm. full on environment, like that's where you learn to manage a lot of things at once. And then, oh, by the way, the freezer just broke and, you know, like on out the door, like, you know, that'll make you or break you kind of stuff. And once you can get to where you can kind of deal with that without losing your cool or freaking out or whatever, then to me, that's it's a great pressure test. And the more months and years you do that, like, you know, as a business owner, like, I mean, we're lucky, like we have five people here. We've never had, like, it's the same five of us for 15 years. So we're a weird business. But if we were hiring people, like if we were growing and hiring, like I would be looking at people that had hospitality experience first, like no doubt about it, because just the internal and external benefits I think you get from doing what y'all do are massive. And I feel like if you can operate well in a hospital, in a fast paced, really busy, bustling hospitality environment in a city like DC, you know, like there's not a lot of things you're not going to be able to deal with and do, you know, like most jobs don't require that much, like daily, right. just chaos and stress to, you know, like, so you're,
well, and you definitely learn how to read people. You learn how to walk into a room and understand the dynamics that go on, which definitely applies to any other career you're looking to pursue later on in life. Or maybe, you know, it's your son's first job at AAA. He's going to learn a difficult guest from an easygoing guest and how you kind of shape your approach to them. It's the same. It's a difficult boss versus a easygoing boss. Like, how do you cater your work style for your boss? The lessons that you learn working in hospitality, they go on and on and on. It's a fantastic way to also figure out, you know, I want to do this forever or this is not for me. And you learn that pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's so cool about your organization is that y'all are continuing to grow, which means that you personally will continue to get opportunities to grow in your career, and people that work in your, you know, it's another thing I love about hospitality is I feel like it is like the most level playing field of really any profession. I mean, doesn't really matter your skin color, your education, mm-hmm. like it's like, mm-hmm. man, if you're willing to show up, work hard with your team, take care of our guests, be here when you're supposed to be here, you know, do your job with a smile, then like, I mean, there's just so many opportunities. There's this, you know, the industry is, I mean, there's a lot of places that closed the last couple of years, which is really unfortunate, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of empty storefronts and places that organizations like yours can grow into, which is great because, yeah. I mean, you know, hospitality has been around forever. It'll be around forever. It's almost like something, I almost feel like we need it more and more now because we're so disconnected, you know, with mm-hmm. the devices and all that kind of time. It's like so nice to go sit in a restaurant and, you know, just talk and have somebody that has a smile that takes your order and, you know, fills your water when you're ready and just like deal in like the real world for a little bit. So I feel like hospitality is like got a really bright future because everything else is going so much to being disconnected and mm-hmm. you know, virtual and everything else. So I think people will always need what y'all have and need it more and more maybe now than ever. So I'm so excited about organizations like yours. I love seeing that, like y'all grow and add new. I saw your name yesterday. Like, God, they're adding another. This is what a cool organ. Like, it made me even more excited. So it's like, you know, it's really cool. Appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you. It's nice because every concept is a little bit different. So you really get to see the different style of cooking or the different type of guest that goes there, or you're working with a different set of managers or a different management team in each location. You learn a little bit every single day. So that keeps it exciting and fun for sure.
Okay. So two and a half years ago, you know, everything shut down and mm-hmm. it was a pretty, you know, scary and weird time. Like what's come out of it? And I know you mentioned like some of the things y'all've done operationally and everything, but like personally, like, are there things that you learned in the last couple of years, either about your company or about yourself that, you know, or I guess maybe were unexpected or not something that you would have predicted?
Yeah, I think pre-COVID, there was so much emphasis on you work long hours and, you know, you find things to do and you kind of structure your day knowing it's going to be a long one. And I think that shifted a lot. Now, if you can get it done in 8 hours, then good. Live your life. Find your work-life balance. Like when things turn bad, you need to be able to have your personal life or your other things going on. So I think that's a lesson a lot of us learned in terms of, you know, you do love what you do. And that's why we want to work so many hours or we want to be super invested because it's our passion. But you have to make time for yourself. You have to do things you need to do. You need to schedule yourself the way you need to be scheduled. And I think a lot of people found that. The other thing is it just allowed us the time to reflect on what's working and not working. And it was an opportunity to reevaluate that and grow on that, both personally and at work. So that opportunity allowed for way more success than if we were just continuing to go. It was a great time to kind of take a step back and see what could be changed or modified.
Man, I'm glad you said that. And I agree wholeheartedly. The industry probably needed in some ways a look in the mirror with the pace and grind and expectations that, I mean, it not that this will ever go away, but the industry also has this dark side of substance abuse. And that's, you know, that's only fostered even more when, you know, you're dealing with, I'm working ridiculous hours and you don't have the balance that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So you need an outlet. So I feel like that's maybe a healthy thing for the industry, not a, you know, an unfortunate way that it had to happen, but it's probably a good thing. I love hearing so, cause I'm hearing this a lot more. So many people are talking about like really realizing like, okay, balance makes something sustainable. Like you're not going to burn out if you have balance. You're not going to, you know, go off the deep end if you have balance. So that's a good thing. Sorry. That's my dog. Let me let her out. She's Lola. There she is. That's Lola.
Oh, she's so cute.
Hey, sweetheart. All right, you got to go. Let's go. Out you go. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. No problem.
She has a
I'm in a restaurant, so you never know the sounds here.
Yeah, right. She's a hound dog. She's a coon hound. And so she's like a hunting dog. I don't hunt her. We rescued her, but she's got a loud bay when she gets going. Well, so what else is on your mind, Felicia? Anything we should have talked about that we haven't?
I don't know.
What do you do for fun?
For fun? I love trying new restaurants. I'm definitely a foodie. I love to dance, like go out dancing at night. That's always a fun one. My sister moved two blocks down from me, so I spend a lot of time with her.
Oh, that's cool. Where are you from?
Yeah, it is really cool. I'm originally from Connecticut.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you and your sister are both there now. So DC's sounds like a fun town. Although
it's a little big town.
A little big town?
Yeah. Everyone knows each other here. Okay. In the industry and other industries, there's so much overlap if you actually live here full time.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. That's cool. All right. Well, what, anything else on your mind?
I don't think so. I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we did. Well, look, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. Appreciate the business. I sent you some hats, didn't I?
Did you? You sent it to us. Our chef wears them every single day. He loves the y'all one. He wears it all the time. He sent it to me like months and months ago, and then he sent me a new one, and he was so happy. And there's like a camo one in there, so it's cute.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure y'all. Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, y'all got a lot of people there. I couldn't send you enough, but well, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Your owner, I know he's a busy dude and he travels around a lot. Love to have him on sometime if he'd love to share his story. Just, you know, pass it along. But thank you very much. Congrats on so well, so quickly in your career. And you know where I'm at if you ever need anything, but stay in touch and keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great work. And
Exciting.
Yeah, a lot of positive energy coming from you, Felicia. So really appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I always love getting to chat with you. If you're ever in this city, let me know so we can take care of you at one of our restaurants or all of our restaurants.
You can count on it. That will happen for sure. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.